next verse. Verse 6, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I don't know what you think about when you think about being satisfied. My mind goes to Thanksgiving. When it's Thanksgiving time, the ladies cook up this beautiful big meal. We sit down and we have turkey, we have all kinds of good stuff to eat, mashed potatoes. And when this is over with, I go sit in my chair and I'm relaxed and I'm totally satisfied. For probably 5-6 hours. Maybe not that long. But I'm satisfied for a while. And I believe that's true satisfaction physically. I'm satisfied. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Keep that verse in mind as we go through this morning. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you kind of get the idea that life is so empty. There's nothing. Everything is vain. Nothing fills. Nothing really gives us satisfaction. But I want to read the last two verses out of Ecclesiastes. You don't have to turn there. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments. For that is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Fear God. We think about satisfaction in our everyday life. Can I say nicely to you, carefully to you, but as Americans here, we find satisfaction in the next toy we can get. We find satisfaction in physical attraction to others and what all goes with that. We find satisfaction in wealth. We find satisfaction in popularity. We think we do. It's short-lived. Satisfaction in this life, with our earthly things in view in mind, is short-lived. Let's talk a bit about I'm going to make a confession to you this morning. I love junk food. My wife knows I love potato chips. I love Pepsi and Dr. Pepper. Junk food. When I was a young man living in Phoenix, I hired a young fellow to work with me for a day. And I did lawn care and I had a whole bunch of yards to do that day. I needed some help. And it was a really, really hot day. So as we began our day of work, it wasn't long until we were thirsty, so we stopped in at a Circle K and we picked up these 44-ounce Big Gulps. Full of Coke, full of Pepsi. Energy. It wasn't long until Stacy was a young man's name. It wasn't long until we had drank that first one. We were still working. Let's stop for another one. So we went back and we got the second one. We had 88 ounces that day each. How do you think I felt at the end of the day?
Not satisfied.
Not satisfied. I felt sick. Not too long ago, this was in the last couple months. Since I'm not at the donut shop anymore, I don't need a whole lot of donuts. I went and I got some donuts for a Saturday morning. That morning I had donuts and coffee. And it wasn't too much longer down throughout the day. I can't remember what else I ate, but it was something sweet, and I think I might have put Pepsi or something on top of it. I didn't have anything really, really healthy. This is not my wife's fault. Anything really healthy until, I think it was supper time. I felt sick. The older I get, the harder it is for me to eat a bunch of sweets. You think about something spiritual in that? Junk food? What about our spiritual walk? What about what we are eating today? Are we eating enough to where we benefit, to where we grow? Or are we eating so little that we're actually feeling sick because we're feeding on the wrong things? I have to think of a basketball team. I love to watch basketball. All the running that goes on from one side to the other. And if you don't think that takes a lot of energy, try it. I don't get very far. But they're running from one side of that court. They're going to the other side of the court because there's a basket on each side and they want to get that ball into the basket. But they're not going to do that by eating chips and drinking pop. They're going to do that by eating something healthy, by keeping their bodies in shape. We think about the Olympics. They keep their bodies in shape. How is my spiritual body this morning? Is it being fed with junk food or is it in shape? Matthew 5, 6, let's read that again, and I'm going to include verse 10 with that. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We are blessed if we hunger and thirst. Verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I want us to grab something here. We are trying, or we're accepting the fact that we seek God, we are hungering and thirsting because we want more of the righteousness that God gives us. But with that righteousness, there's something comes in verse 10. There's a possibility we're going to be persecuted for that righteousness. Are we still excited about getting that righteousness? About seeking after? We don't know a whole lot about being persecuted. We don't understand it. We can see into the other countries and we can see the persecution. But what if it comes here? Am I still so hungry and thirsty after righteousness that I'm still willing to go after that even though there's persecution? Let's move on. Another verse. Go down to verse 20. It says, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. A religious righteousness. I'm going to do it. I can be righteous in myself. No, we can't. He says we are to seek after, we're to hunger and to thirst. But He gives us that righteousness. Matthew 6:31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Righteousness is to be right with God. A couple of verses here. It is to live right. Proverbs 12:28 says, in the way of righteousness is life. In the pathway thereof there is no death. We want life. The way of righteousness is life. We need to let that sink into our beings and understand it. The way of righteousness is life. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I got two young men that are going to come up here this morning to help me a bit. Thinking a little bit about God hath made Him to be sin for us. We're going to pretend for a second here. This guy's a judge. I'm just going to keep my coat on. This guy is a judge over here. This guy, young man here, has committed a crime, a horrendous crime. He's guilty. He knows it. And he knows that he's going to be sentenced. You should probably get down here. I'm sorry. So we have the judge here. And we're going to let them play this thing out.
Okay. Judge, for your crime you committed and the power given to me, I sentence you to life in prison without parole. But from the goodness of my heart, I'm going to take your place and you're going to be free.
Thank you. Did you catch what was happening here? Joshua was you and I. Joshua was me. There is no way that we can pay for our crime. But the judge, the righteous judge, is a picture of Jesus Christ. And because we can't pay, He came down to this earth and He stepped right beside us and He said, I'll take it. And then to top it off, He said, and I'm going to take you back with me into glory. For God hath made Him to be sin for us. Thank you, guys.
God hath made him to be sin for us. Do you understand that? He didn't know sin, but he was willing to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm not sure if I can grasp that as much as I want to. The righteousness of God in him. Somebody was talking to me this week at the meeting Friday night, I think. And I could not find the verses. Somebody might be able to help me. But it said there's a verse, I believe, in Romans that talks about God, when he looks down at us, he really doesn't see us, but he sees God's righteousness. It's just kind of like we're inside that bubble. He sees God's righteousness. Did you know God sees you? And if you're walking with him, he sees his righteousness within you? I believe it was Menno Yoder that was talking to me about that. God's righteousness. What am I seeking after? What are my deepest desires? When I become hungry and I'm out and about, I start having hunger in my physical being. I have a fast food restaurant. It's so easy to turn into. I can get me a Whopper. I can get me a double cheeseburger or whatever I want. In our houses today, we have many Bibles. I don't know how many Bibles I have, but I'll have two or three Bibles laying out when I study, because I want to look at different things. I've got Bibles on my computer, different versions that I can go to. We have many Bibles. But let me ask us this morning, is our Bible like a McDonald's? Is our Bible like a Burger King? We have a little bit of hunger, and so we make a really fast pit stop, and we grab a bite, and we're gone. And it does not last. We have never been satisfied. Jesus isn't happy with that. Jesus would like for us to seek after, to hunger and to thirst after God. I'd like for you to turn to 1 Peter. We're going to be looking at chapter 1, verse 23 through 25, and then also we're going to chapter 2 and look at three verses there. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. I love to hear the rustling of the pages. Thank you for that. I can't hear the computers being swiped. I know that's happening too. 1 Peter 1, verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. We talked about the new life, the being born again a bit there. By the word of God which liveth forever and ever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. We're going to die. The grass wherewith and the flower thereof follow the way. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. It is everlasting. His word is always going to be. He's always going to be. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Let's go on down to the next chapter, verse 1. And I want us to think about this, the next three verses, as hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, the first verse we're talking about junk food. We don't want junk food in our lives. So the first verse here is, can we call it spiritual junk food? Or junk food that keeps us from being spiritual? Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all evil, wickedness, and all guile, deceit, and hypocrisies, and envies, jealousy, and all evil speakings, backbiting, defaming others, things that are only going to hold us back. They're not going to allow us to move forward. They're going to keep us. See, we can actually take some of this junk food that we're talking about here, and we can eat that until we're full. Can you get that next slide? John Piper says, if you don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it is not because you have drunk deeply and are satisfied. It is because you have nibbled so long at the table of the world. Your soul is stuffed with small things, and there is no room for the great. Think about that this morning. The junk food that we can get that will keep us from having that complete satisfaction. We're going to talk about being filled here in a bit. That complete satisfaction within us. that Jesus wants to give us. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. We'll go back there. I'm sorry, let's go to verse 2. This is where I really want to focus on. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. As newborn babes desiring that milk. Moms this morning, you remember when your babies were born. After they were born, it wasn't long until they were nursing. The babies love the milk. Once they get a little bit of a taste of that, they don't back up and say, enough, enough, I've had enough, I don't need any more. But as they get that taste, all of a sudden they want more, and if they don't get more, what happens? They cry, they got lungs. There's not much that happens with a baby, but their lungs are good. It's not long before you hear that cry. They want more. They're not satisfied until they have more, more, more. Can we imagine that, or can we think about that in our spiritual walk with God? Once we have tasted, once we know what the Word does to us, once we know what that righteousness is that He wants to give to us, we don't back off, but we continue to seek, we continue to desire. We hunger and we thirst. We want more. Are we a church that wants more? Are we a church that spends time in the Word, seeking for more? Do we realize who God is? He talked about God on Friday night, and it just really hit me about who God really is. One of the things He talked about is how we come before God and we're so undone. Of ourselves, we're nothing. We're so undone. Isaiah did this. And God finally came down and took a coal and He touched his tongue. And He made him whole, and then He gave him a job to do. God is not going to allow us just to sit. If we have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, He will be there to give us what we need. There's nobody here this morning, including myself, that has an excuse that says, I didn't have time. What you're interested in is going to come out. You're going to see it. I got a phrase here. It says, how we live out our everyday lives will tell where our passion is. Where's your passion? Is your passion your job? Is your passion your family? You can name it. You know what I'm talking about. Where's your passion this morning? Because wherever your passion is, that's what you're going to drive at. What's the verse we use for that? Somebody quote it. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. What do we treasure this morning? Are we treasuring the Word of God? Are we treasuring the Father? Do we want more of Him? Do we want to draw closer? If we want to draw closer, we're going to get into the Word. We're going to love Him. He loved us so much, and He's just waiting for us to love Him back. David said something here. He said in Psalm 42:1, he said, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Am I pursuing this righteousness? I had to think about Peter in the upper room. Jesus takes off his outer robes and puts on a towel, and he goes around and he begins washing the feet of the disciples. When he gets to Peter, Peter said, no, not me, Lord. I don't want you to wash my feet. That wouldn't be right. But Jesus told him, says, Peter, unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me. What was Peter's response? Not only my feet, God, but my hands and my head. Let's just go ahead and get washed all over. Is that the desires that I have for the Word? I don't want just a little bit. I had a man tell me one time. He said, I want just enough faith to make it into the kingdom. Friends, no. Let's immerse ourselves in the Word of God. Let's allow Him to fill us so we have that hunger. So we continue to walk and to draw closer. The promise here is to be filled. The word fill here means to feed, to fill, to satisfy. It even means to gorge. You're full. Completely filled. Psalm 107:8 says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." He satisfies us. Are we longing? He satisfies us. If we long for that, He gives us what we need. He brings us satisfaction. He fills us with goodness. Why is it we see so many, and I include myself, walking around, we're still looking. We're still looking. Because we just don't have time in our day to get into the Word, to meet with our Father. It's not easy. Let's be honest, it's not easy. It takes commitment to get into the Word. It takes commitment to spend that time. I've talked about my dad before. There's times I couldn't find my dad as a young boy growing up, but I knew where to go. He was in his closet, reading the Word of God. Dad loves the Word of God. He's still alive in his mid-80s, but he still loves God. If I turn 80, I sure hope you guys can say that about me. Lynn loves the Lord. David was a man after God's own heart. Is that what you men are desiring this morning? To be a man after God's own heart? It's not going to happen because you didn't dig. It's not going to happen because you didn't desire. We need to desire. We want to be filled. I like to read Psalm 19, and you can turn there if you like. Most of you probably know these verses. But Psalm 19, verse 7 through 11. And I hope you can understand where I'm coming from here. Loving what God loves. He talks here a lot about the law. I'm thinking about that as the Word of God, His righteousness, and what it does to us. Let's begin reading in Psalm 19, verse 7. He says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear or the reverence of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments or the laws of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Listen to verse 10. He says, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb." Is my desire for the Lord? Is my desire for His righteousness? John 15:9, 10, and 11. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." We're focusing on honoring God, making God's name great by reflecting His love. And this first quarter is in the family. And I had to think about us as families this morning. What is being reflected out from our homes right now to those around us? Did you know your neighbors watch you? Oh, yes, they do. You might think you're secluded and you're away somewhere else, but somebody somewhere is watching. They see your reflection. What is that reflection this morning? Is it a reflection of God being the center of your home? Jesus being the center. So now we wonder, how do I attain this hunger and thirst? We can talk about having hunger and thirst, but how do I attain this hunger and thirst? Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 1. We want to read the first 6 verses of the book of Psalm. And follow along here as we read. And just hopefully we can catch a little bit of a glimpse of how do I attain that hunger, that thirst. Yeah, I know, we attain that hunger, thirst by getting into the Word. That's a huge way. By talking to the Father, allowing Him to talk to us. And that's mostly, I guess, what this psalm is about. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. These are things not to be involved in. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You're blessed if you don't take part in this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know what I wish? We have an app for everything. If I want to figure something out, or if I want to know about something, if I want to make something easier in my life, I get my little phone out, I go into the apps, and I search, and I find an app. I haven't found one yet that says hunger and thirst for righteousness. We don't have an app for that. Wouldn't it be nice if we did and we could just go in there and, hey, I need some hunger and thirst right now. I'm going to push my button and here we go. No, we don't have that. Maybe this is our app here. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. I was blessed this week. I got a text one afternoon. I'm not going to say who from. But I know this man has things to do in his life. I had reason to be in the Word because I was studying for my message. But this was in the afternoon. I don't know exactly what time, but I got this text from somebody. And he was asking about a scripture. And right away my mind went to, what are you doing in the house right now? You're a man, it's daylight. It's daylight. You should be out there doing something. He was doing something. He was in the Word. That's beautiful. Taking that time, even if it's in the middle of the day. Daniel did 3 times a day he prayed. Lunch was one of the times he prayed, I believe. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be, this is the result, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. He's fruitful. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. They have no footing, no foundation. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You know, God knows the way of the righteous. God knows where you're at, and you're seeking, and you're thirsting, you're hungering. He knows where you're at. I can come this morning and I can look really good. I can wear my suit. I can make it look like I am completely righteous. By the way, wearing a suit doesn't make you righteous. Thank you. I love wearing a suit because I grew up wearing a suit. But I can come and I can look completely righteous, but we're not going to fool God. God knows what's in here. He knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I'd like for you to stand this morning, and I'm going to read a scripture to you as a body here this morning. A scripture of blessing. Now, I would like for you to receive this blessing this morning, not from me, but from the Father. Listen closely. Ephesians 3 says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, Calvary Chapel, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the goodness of God, with the fullness of God." That's as far as I can take it. The rest is up to you. God wants to bless us. God wants us to be so full that we burst As we go out these doors today, whoever we meet, they can feel that. That love is spilling over. When I go to work tomorrow, when I'm standing at my bench and I'm building those cabinets, that Brian behind me and Wilbur in front of me can feel the power of God. You are His workmanship. I am His workmanship. We didn't come to church this morning just to spend time here. We came this morning to learn. As you go out those doors, you're not going out there just to live your everyday life for fun. God has a purpose. And He wants you to fulfill that purpose. Would you bow with me? God, this morning it scares me. It shakes me, Lord. When I think about what You did for us. How much You love us. Your desire for us, Lord, to walk close with You. God, we bless You. I pray, Lord, that You would speak into our hearts here this morning. I pray, Father, that none of us would leave here this morning without at least thinking about our hunger, our thirst, our satisfaction in You. And Lord, as hearts need to be changed, I pray that You would make us soft. That You would make us flexible, bendable, moldable. That You can change us to what You want us to be. We lift Your name high. You're so good to us. We bless You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.